podcast listeners from Medical Education. This, as always, is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief from the journal, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with Katrien Bombeke, who's at the University of Antwerp in Belgium and is working nearby as a part-time general practitioner, but also working at the university as a researcher and teacher in their communication skills department. And Katrien has recently completed a PhD on patient-centeredness, and we'll be discussing today a paper that has come out of that PhD work that will be published in the May 2013 issue of Medical Education, and it's entitled More Shades of Gray in My Answers, Interview Study Revisiting Attitude Erosion in Clerkship. Welcome, Katrien, to the podcast.
Hello, I really appreciate the opportunity, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. I selected this paper in large part because I found it very intriguing. Our listeners will, at least many of them, know that there is this concern about medical training and how we have very positive hopes for it in nurturing highly functioning and patient-centered physicians, yet many of the outcomes that have been measured, empathy and patient-centeredness and a number of things, have been measured in a way that's reported a decline throughout medical school, which has raised concerns for many in our community about just what we're doing to these bright-eyed individuals that are pursuing this career. Have you been involved in that research before taking on this project, or did you come at this from a different perspective?
No, I'm a doctor myself, and I have been a medical student. And of course, my project from the start was inspired by finding out how to foster patient-centeredness in medical students, because I have heard a lot of colleagues of mine during their education that they had troubles to be as patient-centered as they would like to. And then the literature matched with that. So I was very intrigued by the question, how can we foster patient-centeredness? So I think it was in 2005 that I started to study this topic.
And can you define for anybody who perhaps isn't well aware of that concept, how are you thinking of patient-centeredness nowadays?
Yeah, well, I refer to the definition of Mead and Bauer. There are many different definitions, and some people think of patient-centeredness as a vague concept. But actually, the Mead and Bauer definition is based on a lot of literature, and it has five dimensions. Two of them are really related to the patient as being a person, a unique person with his own background, and also seeing the complaint of the patient within a biopsychosocial perspective. Then you also have the shared decision-making part, which is a third dimension. Then you have the part where the doctor-patient relationship is very important and is seen as a very important aspect of the treatment itself. And the last part is that the doctor as person, who also influences the conversation a lot and the treatment a lot.
So anytime these sorts of concepts get dimensionalized in that way, there's a tendency for us to try to put them on a measurement scale of some kind and try to determine whether or not we can reliably and meaningfully assess somebody's patient-centeredness. And so how do you go about determining whether or not somebody is practicing in a patient-centered way?
That's already one problem. You have a variety of tools and ways of assessing patient-centeredness and professionalism. And many times, I think in medical education, we try to observe behavior at the moment with observational tools that are focusing on patient-centered communication more specifically. But I think what is also very important is to look at those factors that are before the behavior, which is only to be viewed externally, which is an external factor. And the internal factors most often now are reflected in attitude scales. But we also have alternative ways of assessing students' professional development, like portfolios, which is a more comprehensive way of evaluating a student's professional development. And my study is more focused on the attitude scales, which are used quite often.
And it's those scales that have been reported to demonstrate that patient-centeredness actually gets worse in medical school? What is the common explanation for that decline been to this point?
Often the environment is said to be toxic. Students, they come into medical education and they start their school with the idea of really wanting to help people and to put patients at the center. But then in real practice, it's very difficult for them because the environment and medical school environment as well is leading them to another way and has role models that are more focused on the biomedical aspects of care. Other people say it's maturation process, it's time constraints, it's the way doctors are paid that makes them less patient-centered. So there are quite a lot of explanations for this. But when I started my PhD study, what was very interesting is that there were qualitative studies. I also did one which was published in a journal that tried to explain from the student's point of view, why is it difficult for them to be patient-centered in practice? And I think that's really a good step to take the student's view into account.
Right, and most of those reports haven't in any sort of detail explored that student's view, and that seems to be what you were trying to do with this study. So if I've understood correctly, you went out and you interviewed a number of individuals who had contributed data to one of your studies using one of these scales?
Indeed, that's correct.
And so what sorts of things were you asking of them or trying to elicit from those interviews?
Well, we thought it was important to first let them talk spontaneously about patient-centeredness and about their experiences in practice, just to get a sense of how they talk about patients and if they would spontaneously say something about the measurement skills as well. And then in the second half of the interview, we would ask them, well, we have these scores of you. How do you think the scores were? We let them predict their own scores, to estimate their own scores. And then we confronted them with their real scores, just to see their reaction and to be able to talk about that. And then after that part of the interview, we really gave them those items of the scales that really made the difference in their scores, that made them decline or incline. What we thought was an advantage is that we had attitude scores of all the participants, because the disadvantage of the focus group study before was that if you invite students to come to your study, often they are willing to talk about the topic. And now we could really invite students that had low patient-centered attitude scores. The contrast was interesting.
Right, and it sounds as though the responses that you were getting back suggested as much as anything that the students' perspective was changing rather than that their patient-centeredness was changing, and that seems to almost be changing the way in which they're interpreting the questions that are asked on these scales. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that response transition that you identified?
Yeah. Before the interview study, we had a study in which a student group declined in their attitude scores. And we tried to explain that. And we thought, well, let's ask the students themselves. We had some ideas of what might have caused the decline in scores, but we started the interviews very open-minded. We even did not have a clue where the students would be able to really critically reflect upon that. And we were intrigued by the sophisticated way students could think about their own behavior and their own attitudes and the way they filled out the scales. And what was really surprising is, of course, they did say that it was difficult to implement patient-centeredness in practice, but they kept on saying that their attitudes were actually quite positive. And when talking about the way they dealt with patients, we noticed that their reasoning was more sophisticated, and then the scale was rather black and white to their opinion.
So can you tell our listeners a bit more about how students were recalibrating their perceptions of patient-centeredness over time?
Yeah. Okay. I would like to give an example to make my point clear. One question of one of the skills I used was the doctor should be an advisor to the patient and not decide for the patient. And then the students would think of this question and say, well, before I went into clinical practice, I had a theoretical view on patient-centeredness. But then you come into practice and you feel that patients are different. They have different preferences, different wishes. And not every patient wants to share decision-making. Not every patient wants to talk about emotions. And it is patient-centered then not to do what has been thought to talk about emotions or to share decisions. And so where they would answer in a rather extreme manner before clinical clerkships on the scales. Now they would really think very sophisticated, and they saw a lot of different patients, which is actually quite patient-centered to think like that as a doctor. So they said that their answers would become less extreme because of this nuanced thinking about patients and patient care. And I thought it was very astonishing that actually a scale measuring patient-centeredness is punishing students for that sophisticated and complex way of reasoning. So I think that the scales don't capture their flexibility in dealing with patient preferences.
Really important observation in terms of whether or not this is actually valid measurement of patient-centeredness or just some abstract, uninformed conception of it. So it's, I think, really intriguing and interesting results. And I'm wondering where you're going to go with this now that you have identified these concerns with the way patient-centeredness is being measured. Do you have any advice for our current educators about how they should be assessing or conceptualizing and promoting patient-centeredness?
As an educator or as a researcher?
As an educator.
As an educator, I think that if we teach students about patient-centeredness, it is more important to reflect with them about how do you want to be and how do you want to deal with patients, and to put a concept of patient-centeredness which has that flexibility in it. Of course, students should learn skills to elicit emotions, but from the start, we should give them a realistic view that not every patient wants it, but you can use it if you need to. I think we should put them in practice as soon as possible and let them bring back cases in which they describe how they communicated with patients and to make them reflect about these things. So it's about a more realistic training and also a change of the concept as a black and white concept of patient-centeredness to a concept that has a complexity of reality in it.
That's great, and seems like a really good point to end on. You've raised the distinction between as a researcher, as an educator, and the paper itself lists some implications for what this means in terms of research into patient-centeredness. So I think I'll leave that piece to the listeners to go find in the article. The article is entitled More Shades of Gray in My Answers: Interview Study Revisiting Attitude Erosion in Clerkship, and I've been speaking today with its first author, Katrien Bombeke from the University of Antwerp, and would thank you once again, Katrien, for taking the time to chat with me, and I'll look forward to seeing the rest of the work that's coming out of your PhD studies.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.